Okay, so here we are talking about patients, right, on June 1st, I think, 2011. And I was just saying that in Buddhism, there's an interest in really activating factors, causes in the mind that lead to a good result and reduce suffering, both for oneself and for others. So there's a focus on causes and processes. What are the causes? So it's a very practical approach. You know, as you've heard me say, this approach is embedded in Dr. Phil's fabulous question. So, how's that working for you? Right? What are the causes, for better or for worse? So, in terms of factors that lead to happiness and profound inner peace, truly profound inner peace, I've been reflecting lately on patience. Patience, you may know, is among the 10 paramis, or characteristics of a bodhisattva. A bodhisattva being someone in Buddhism who is very, very evolved, basically awakened, but who defers complete awakening, and thus, in Buddhist cosmology, guarantees rebirth after rebirth after rebirth in this veil of tears, for the sake of bringing everybody else along with her or him. And so it's to think of something as homespun, seemingly superficial, perhaps seemingly trivial, and everyday, and, you know, Ann Landers, Dear Abby, Miss Manners, kindergarten teacher level, patience, everyone. You know, to think of something as patience, as one of the 10 attributes, really, of someone so developed, so exalted, is really quite remarkable. So, to start here, I invite you to think about what it's like to be with someone who, for you, is really patient. You know, can you think of someone in your life who just somehow seems patient? Maybe other words come up like easygoing, or mellow, or tolerant, spacious, has a lot of room. What's it like to be around that person?
Calming.
Oh, okay, good. Thanks for calling it out. Yeah, maybe a few other words?
It's easier to be myself around the person like that.
Yeah.
Plus it is struggle.
Yeah. Thank you. Now let's go the other way. Can you think of someone who, for you, is really impatient? Sort of demanding, quick, maybe interrupts you a fair amount. Finishes your sentences for you. Right. Can you think of someone like that? Maybe they have good intentions, maybe they have a good heart, but they're just sort of impatient. It's like it's a New York minute, you know, that kind of thing. I was just there, actually, as you probably know, last week, and yeah. So, okay, can you think of somebody like that? Maybe somebody represents that at all? Maybe a parent, or a teacher, coach, boss, coworker, spouse, teenager. Teenagers can be remarkably impatient. Okay, what's it like to be with that person? How do you feel around that person?
Edgy.
Edgy?
Diminished.
Diminished, interesting, yeah. Yeah, I was playing off what you said. I felt crowded out. You pushed the margins. Yeah.
Not secure.
Not secure. That's interesting. There's a resonance in that probably for many people, if not everybody, about what it's like to be a child growing up in an impatient, maybe you were thinking of that, yeah, unattuned caregiver. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Now let's take it to another place. How about yourself? This, if you can, imagine yourself being impatient also. Now it's you that's impatient. You're stuck in traffic and you've got to get somewhere and you're obstructed, right? Or you're on hold, you know, you're calling and you need an answer and you're working your way through the phone tree and now you're stuck on like 5 minutes interminably of elevator music and every 20 seconds, a really reassuring and mellow, male voice comes on, and we'll be right with you. We're eager to help you with your call. And then the same message comes over. About the fifth time it happens, you just want to slam the phone down. Or you just are trying to get a toddler into a car seat, you know. Okay. So what's it like to be, so now you feel impatient yourself. Like you're hearing Uncle Bob, who's slightly demented, telling the same long story again at dinner. Okay. You know that one? What's it feel like to be impatient?
Explosive.
Explosive, okay. Yeah.
Feel guilty if you are impatient with, you know, the toddler or the old guy.
Yeah, guilty, okay. Yeah.
Anxious.
Yeah.
Constricted.
Yeah, constricted. Kind of, there's something about it where you feel thwarted by definition. Yeah. Okay, and then go the other way. You know, just imagine just kind of taking your Zen pill. You know, our daughter's friend used to say to her in middle school, Laurel, just go to your happy place, you know, where you're patient. You may not like what's here. I mean, patience is usually called for when there's something unpleasant or incomplete or insufficient. But you're not in a rush about it. You can tolerate it. It's sort of a shock absorber between you and the events that are less than optimal. You see the big picture. You're not in a hurry. You recognize the fact that you can't make the river flow any faster. What's that feel like?
Expansive.
Ah, expansive. Yeah. Yeah.
Just much more aware of the whole moment of things that are working and what is vivid beside the task.
Yeah, that's great. I noticed when I did it, I felt more, in a sense, in control. Impatience, we feel pushed somehow, and our reactions overtake us, whereas patience, there's a sense of dignity and self-regulation in it.
What's the most difficult one for me? Grandma, too. The others are easy compared to that one.
That one, being patient yourself? Yeah.
I mean, it's easy to see it as being indecisive or in hesitant and weak.
Yes. Yeah, I got it. I regarded myself as quite a patient person, actually. And a couple years ago, I was on retreat, and I was looking at the list of the 10 paramis, and just one or two or three I wanted to kind of have as themes for the year. And you know how it is, sort of sometimes you look at words, and there's just one or two that come calling. And often they're counterintuitive. You think to yourself, what? Not that one, you know. But patience came calling. And so I began to realize, actually, particularly when you're interested in it, you know, like the Buddha is, and in a radical, far-reaching, profound, enveloping kind of fruition of a quality of mind or heart, that I had a long way to go to be truly, you know, patient. And I'm still not there yet to think about being utterly patient. But it's humbling to realize how impatient we often are, or how our patience is operable within a fairly narrow band. As long as things aren't more than this irritating, you know, I can be very patient. You know, so what's the line? I'm always satisfied by the very best. You know, it's like that. As long as it's like this, I can be patient there. But can we be patient when it's out here?
It easier to dissociate from a situation than it is to be patient with it actively.
Yeah, I think that's very well said. It's easy to space out. I mean, sure, anybody can be patient if they're on morphine or something. You know? Right? But to be really present with it and patient, you're right, that's a high bar. And that's what the Buddha is talking about. Certainly that's the path of a bodhisattva.
How do you define the threshold, the tipping point of whether somebody is patient or not patient? There must be a point.
Oh, it means you're spacing out or disconnecting from?
And what is the difference between that and patience?
That's a great question. I think of, why don't I talk a little bit maybe about a way of looking at patience, and then that might be a way to kind of define what I mean by it. Impatience has a quality of insistence in it, right? Where things are the way they are, and we insist they not be the way they are. That's the nature of impatience. Whereas patience accepts the way things are. It may not prefer them at all. I mean, what gives us cause for patience is that we don't prefer. There's unpleasantness. We don't like the way things are. But we don't tip into craving for them to change. That's why patience, in terms of the Four Noble Truths, takes you right into the Third Noble Truth of the end of craving and thus the end of suffering. Not in an ultimate final sense, but in a very real provisional momentary sense. Because if you're patient, by definition, you're not hijacked by craving. So this very homespun, old-fashioned virtue is radically useful in the Buddhist frame. This year, as you know, I'm trying to keep a focus on relationships as a field and a support for practice. So I'm thinking about patience here in relationships. And I wanted to offer three reflections about that and then maybe talk about situations that try your patience. And then I have some other suggestions for cultivating patience. Paramis, we all have the paramis. And they're perfected in a bodhisattva. That's the notion. So it's okay. We're on the path. And very often, deep down inside us, we have, honestly, buried treasure. We have buried treasure of paramis, sometimes called paramitas, either way, perfections. And we can access reservoirs of these qualities, including patience, deep down inside. So in terms of other people, a few sort of factors of patience. And you might, if you like, bring to mind a specific situation or relationship or person that tries your patience. Like they take too long to do things. Like they take forever to make their point. Or they're just irritating, right? They're annoying, maybe. They just are. They are annoying. Okay, so first off, one thing that for me is really useful in situations where people, for example, one of my pet peeves is people in public events like this one, standing in the doorway, talking to their new best friend, right? They're obstructing flow. Or maybe you're in a service environment and you're trying to get something done, and the service people, the clerks, whatever, the wait staff, are talking to each other and not coming soon enough. Or you're trying to get something done in a business meeting and someone keeps changing the subject or going off point. You know what I'm talking about? Real things. Okay? I was driving my father north. After we moved him out of his house in L.A. after my mother died, and this was some years ago. And so I'm driving north with him, and I would be driving along, I'd come to a stop sign, and I'd come to a stop, and he'd say, "You can go now."
Yeah.
Stuff like that, you know? Anyway, things that try your patience. Okay, so factors that help, I think. One is to really recognize the suffering in the other person. Not necessarily, not usually capital S suffering, but the ordinary suffering you can see in my face, you can see in everyone's face, you can see in your own face. Ordinary stress, ordinary weariness, ordinary dissatisfaction, you know, the ordinary fate of being strapped to a body that, in the Irish saying, every day wounds you and the last one kills. Oh, joy. Those Irish. But anyway, you know, like we're all strapped to a body that's dying, right? Often in pain along the way. I'm thinking of Camille Paglia's line about male lovemaking, but it could be generalized here, to enter in triumph and withdraw in decrepitude. Anyway, so it's to see this quality in other people, that they're burdened too. They have things they worry about. You know, they're not getting everything their heart longs for in love. Money's not working out. You know, dreams not fulfilled. You know, whatever. Their own biochemistry is not the greatest. They're suffering. Suddenly we can become more patient. We realize they've got a lot on their mind. They're dealing with a lot. They're juggling a lot of balls. No wonder they're late for this meeting. No wonder they forgot. No wonder they're taking forever to make my latte. Just stuff, right? Suffering. Doesn't mean letting them off the moral hook, but suddenly for our own sake, seeing their suffering makes us feel better. Moves us to compassion, puts it in perspective. Okay? We get our knickers less than a twist. Second thing that struck me about this is it's the fact that sometimes the people that we're getting impatient with, it's we want to help them. We want them to see the light. We get impatient with our children, our friends, our coworkers. Why can't they see it? Why can't they activate around this? Why can't they stop that? Why can't they start this, right? And, or, yeah, I'll do this in this way. It's quite profound to appreciate within, you know, the Buddhist frame, which is really the same as the modern physics, science frame, to look at everything, not so much as a thing, but as an event. Some events are more sluggish than others, like El Capitan is a very slow event, right? But a thought is a very rapid event. Some kind of interpersonal thing is a medium speed event. And as events, things happen due to causes. So people are the way they are based on thousands of causes that lead them to be what they are right there. All those causes come together as kind of a nexus. It's like all the causes flowing through the ocean manifest right now as this particular swell in the middle of the sea, right? And when you look at that, when you see other people in that way, you realize this horrible, humbling, and wonderful truth that you have very little influence over them. There's very little you can do. There's very little you can do to get them to speed up with the latte or get out of your way in the freeway. You know, there's little you can do to have them do their homework even. There's just a lot of limitation on influence. It's interesting when you start to really appreciate the limits of influence. So you do what you can, right? But wow, so much we just have so little power over. And to me that can take us to more patience. We realize that there's very little we can actually do about it. We do what we can. We have good wishes, we can do that. But much more than that, often we can do very, very little. And that helps me be patient, be more patient. I realize how little I can actually do, which is weirdly really freeing. Initially it made me have this sort of inferiority complex, like it was shocking when I began to realize how little power I actually had for good, you know. It just totally undermines self-importance. But then on the other hand, what a relief. Yeah. Or frankly, to go the other way. Lots of times the reason we're impatient is we want to get something from someone, right? We want them to love us a certain way, make love to us a certain way, come to home on time a certain way, you know, come to work a certain way. We get impatient. I have people working with me right now that I can get impatient with because they're not, you know, getting things done very quickly. And there too, you think of all the 10,000 causes that lead a person to be what they are, and you realize there too, boy, you know, their capacity to make me happy is actually pretty limited. You know, even if they did show up on time, even if they did make love to me the right way, whatever, even if they did do their homework, like, with how truly happy would that actually make you? Might have a little help, there's a place for it, but you start realizing again that those factors out there don't have that much effect on your fundamental happiness and well-being and inner peace. They don't have much effect on your own awakening. They have a little effect, but mostly they don't. Because most of the causes of your own happiness and awakening, my own as well, are very, very local. Mostly right here. That too can take me to a kind of patience about those other people and about those other factors. You realize, you know, I can't do much about it, and it can't do much for me. And there's a kind of waking up about that, a relaxing and an ease. You get a lot more mellow about it. You know, it's funny. The world is like this vast park full of beautiful flowers and also sharp thorns, right? Impatience rails at the thorns. You know, patience puts on a pair of shoes. Takes the world as what it is and has a kind of buffer from it. So maybe I'll just wrap up and we can have more discussion about it by offering just a few suggestions additionally, in addition to these three perspectives. The perspective on the suffering of others, perspective based on the 10,000 causes about how little influence we have over others, and also third, the perspective on the fact that other people really don't make that much difference in our own true happiness. They can have a momentary effect. There's a place for asking for what we need. I'm not speaking in any way, shape, or form against appropriate assertiveness. People who know me personally would say I'm quite willing to be quite assertive. You know, I try to be skillful about it and humane, but I'm completely prepared to be assertive. But there are real limits to our power, really. Okay. So in addition to those three, a few suggestions. One is to notice how good it feels to be patient rather than impatient. And also keep in mind how good it feels for others to be around you when you're patient rather than impatient. That's motivating right there. In the brain, you know, it's a reward-seeking bio-machine. It just seeks reward. The more you can pair a reward with wholesome factors, wholesome inclinations, the more you'll naturally incline the brain in that direction. Another thing is to deliberately pick a couple of situations and practice patience. Like one thing I've done is, you know how the food is, you have a meal, you're kind of hungry or you're in a restaurant, they put the meal down, don't eat for a minute or so. Just stare at the darn plate. Smell it. Oh, is that good? I'm so hungry. Don't eat it. Just deliberately be patient. Practice patience. One reason why they do what they do in monasteries is they basically train the monastics in patience. They have to wait. You may know the line in Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse, where Siddhartha, who is the Buddha, basically, it's a fictionalized Buddha, has been a deep ascetic practitioner doing profound meditations for years and years and years. It only took him so far, and finally he said, I need to learn more about the world. So he came back into the world, and he came to see a grain merchant. He was looking for a job, Siddhartha was. The young Buddha was looking for a job in Hermann Hesse's novel. And so the grain merchant sees the charisma, you know, and the intelligence in this young man, but he's trying to figure out what in he's good for. So he's kind of skinny and scrawny, so he's not very good for hauling, you know, bags of grain. The grain merchant says, well, can you do this? So Arthur says, no. Do you know how to do that? Well, no. What about this? You know, they're all doing that. Can you do that? No. What are you good for? What can you do? Said Hartha pauses and he says, well, I can think, I can fast, and I can wait. He learned to wait. As a monastic, he learned to wait. You know, deep training and learning how to wait gracefully. So you can train yourself to wait.
Did he get the job?
And he got hired. And he became in the book. Yeah, he did get hired. As a waiter. That's right. That was clever. As a waiter. He actually did get hired, and the rest is history and all the rest of that. Okay, way to go. Gray Herald. That was world class right there. All right, so to finish up, so that one. So, you know, practice waiting. Another thing is when you're in situations where you're kind of stuck, think of it, reframe it in your mind. It's not so much that I'm wasting time. But rather, look around for things you can, enjoy right then and there, like beauty. Or if you're stuck in line, you know, ask yourself, am I, waiting here or being here? It's very interesting that luxury, it's a luxury to have nothing to do. It's really interesting. There we are, standing on the beach with nothing to do. We feel, oh my gosh, $1 million vacation. There we are standing in a bank line with nothing to do. And we're gnashing our teeth, grumble, grumble. It's just reframe it, to the luxury of that. And then the last suggestion in terms of building patience muscles is to pick a conversation or a relationship altogether, and for a period of time, even a long period of time, really press yourself to be much more patient in it. For example, resolve to never interrupt the other person. Or give them much more airtime. Let them finish their stories. Let them finish their point, even if you know where they're going. Give more room to breathe. A child, hang out more. It's very interesting to play with young children and follow their leads. A lot of people are too impatient to just hang out and play Candyland one more time, or war, where you turn the cards over. It's a great practice of patience to play war. Child wants to, with a kid. Okay. And then last thing, I think one thing that serves patience is knowing where your line in the sand is. That goes, I think, a little bit to Bill's point earlier. It's to know at what point will you hang up the phone. At what point will you change banks because the lines are too long? At what point will you fire the person because they keep coming to work too late? At what point do you haul your partner into couples counseling because they don't keep their word about coming home on time? Know where your own line in the sand is that you're willing to assert yourself around, including asserting yourself by disengaging unilaterally or shrinking your own participation unilaterally, or quietly knowing what you truly think, even if they have your body, they don't get your mind. Yeah. So, okay. What do you think about this? And what do you think about being patient and situations that try your patience?
They don't operate where it's back and forth necessarily, and I really, really struggle with that, but I was just thinking, what can I do? Sensation in the body, deep breaths. It's part in my genetics, I would believe, and part in the food and beverage I'm taking in. So I'm just kind of wondering what it is I can do other than deep breaths.
Yeah.
For me, when I'm feeling that impatience, it's also, I feel like it's a lot of the time I'm kind of jumping to a conclusion, or just thinking about kind of the negative outcome of my waiting, and it's a lot like anger, and it's kind of hurting me. Just it's my choice of whether to take it in or not. So I always feel much better when I'm, you know, let go of the fact, you know, what's going to happen if I'm 10 minutes later, or any of those things, then I can start to be there, or, you know, take that time to meditate in line. And, you know, it can often just dissolve, you know, but most of it's petty. Sometimes it's a work situation where, you know, you're supposed to get things done, but more than half the time it isn't.
Yeah. I think perspectives like that can help calm the body. Additionally, exhaling is really good. Parasympathetic nervous system calms the body down. For me, it's related to that. It helps keep my body calm. I keep reminding myself, it's all right. It's actually okay. You know, it's like that can help keep me and my body calm, relatively calm. Patience is non-reactivity. You know, patience, again, it's this really homespun virtue, but it's really profound. It goes right to the undoing of craving. It goes right to equanimity, which is a deep virtue, a deep a quality of mind in Buddhism. It goes into just a deep seeing of things as in flow, and things, most things don't matter that much. Yeah, in the back, great.
Yeah, for me, whether I'm patient or impatient, it's frustrating. And when I'm in a situation, I'm both sides of the coin. I mean, there's frustration, you know, frustrating being patient sometimes and frustrating being impatient. But for me, I tend to observe the changes, especially in nature. And when I can't change the season, I can't make a flower not bloom, I can't do those things. And when I can just observe and watch it change, I can, helps me to just observe myself being patient or impatient. And it helps to center me in the sense that I've heard that. So nature for me is a powerful thing that I tend to use in most stressful situations.
Yeah. Thank you. I think patience, too, yeah, is a gift. One way to think of it is we're giving them a gift and we're giving ourselves the gift of letting the situation just ripen and complete itself and be impermanent and move on. So think of, that's another way to think of patience, as an active giving. And obviously there's a difference between outward patience and yet inner impatience. Here I'm talking about inner patience, where you're truly patient. You're truly okay inside with it all. You're not seething inside while being outwardly calm. Yeah.
I have thought that the actual holding a question, what is patience, really explore it.
Thank you. What a wonderful idea for us all to explore the question, what is patience? Yeah, including in situations. You go home and, you know. Yeah. Great, please.
I've had a problem with impulsivity and making decisions.
Yeah.
What I've learned is that impulsivity comes from the anxiety of indecision. And then I make the decision quickly, and that's a way to reduce my anxiety about what to do.
Yeah.
But that's not, I'm better off sitting with the indecision a little bit longer rather than trying to reduce the anxiety by acting.
Yeah. To relate to that, which I really appreciate, I'm reminded of this construct I came across recently in psychology, that a major, major factor of mental health and well-being is, quote-unquote, distress tolerance. Just that phrase, distress tolerance. In other words, being able to tolerate unpleasant emotion, being able to tolerate anxiety, tolerate irritation, tolerate frustration. In other words, to be patient about maybe what you're talking about, to be patient about feeling impatient. So there's a container, you know, that can tolerate what's going on there. Impatience can't tolerate irritation. This irritation is happening. I need to change the situation because the situation is really irritating me. Or another thing is maybe I'm not getting the reward I want right now. Can I tolerate that? Can I tolerate the delay of gratification? Yeah, Mark?
It sounds like you're saying it's like building a capacity, an internal capacity for something to do.
Yeah.
Which is something that you have as a power that you walk around with.
Yeah.
Rather than just something that drops in.
Oh, yeah. You can build up patience, you know, totally. I mean, I've practiced it for a while, and I bet a lot of us have. Develop, like you were just talking about back there, being more patient with ambivalence or uncertainty, developing that patience.
Pretty much a societal thing, isn't
it? We don't have a very patient culture, do we?
In other countries, in Japan, seems more systemic in the U.S.
Impatience?
Yeah. Just in my traveling.
We're moving just a couple more and we'll finish up. Yeah.
Could you just say a couple more words about internal patience that has the naturalness that not only have I maybe tolerated the stress or been able to externally not interrupt people and stuff, which I agree with one of the people said that there is a backlog of stress when your day is constantly and you go home, you still be patient, and you get impatient some more the next day. So I like this other model that would be, I think, a graduation for me where there's a fruitful something, not just the counting, but the one where something is actually happening that's a little more juicy than that. What you were saying before, you said it, I didn't.
Well, just thinking about. Well, I think there are a lot of things. I think calming the body really helps, which he was talking about, right? Because we get worked up. It's easier to ride the horse when it's not running 30 miles an hour, right? When the body's not so revved, it's a lot easier to control. Right there, tranquility is a key factor. They work together, but tranquility, I think, really, you know, aids patience. A basic relaxation, a basic cooling down. Those things, I think, help. A second thing, I think, is perspective. Like people have talked about just how do we see things? Do we realize that they're not such a big deal much of the time? You know? I think another thing that comes up for me is interest. Yeah. Like I found myself when you were talking, slightly wanting to, I'm feeling a little time pressure here. So it's right here. I'm exhibit A a little bit. I'm feeling time pressure because that, again, can make us impatient. You're talking. I have sort of a notion of what you're about to say. The inclination, you know, a little bit is to move it to a close, wrap it up. And I found myself instead tipping into just being really interested in what you were saying, and which really helped me be patient. Interest. Then we're being really fed. Wow. We're really being much more fed by what's happening.
And that was what you said before that I thought was so amazing because I've never had that good inside be much more sustainable, but kind of
Well, let's just keep going. No. But you know, another thing, it's like an inner freedom too. When you feel more patient inside, like that stuff's happening there. And internally, you're more like, you know, Siddhartha in that story. You could just feel his freedom there. He could think, he could fast, he could wait. There was a freedom inside. Well, I'll have one more and then for sure we'll finish.
Okay. I'm just remembering a situation where I had purchased something and I went to pick it up and I ordered it and it was completely wrong. And the guy who was helping me was like really pissed at me because they had been wrong. And he was kind of the guy that doesn't want to be wrong. So I said, and normally, you know, I'm intense. I can get pretty impatient, but I was... In light of his impatience, I said, "We can't both do this." in my short visit, I became the Buddha, and it was amazing. It was amazing. But what was even more amazing is that after I left the shop, I had to go to the Verizon store, and I just lost my mind, didn't I?
It's like what she was saying. You know, we run out. Actually, studies have shown that a lot of people, there's a finite supply of willpower. And part of it has to do with glucose consumption in the brain. So if you feed yourself, if you had had a little snack, you might not have lost it in the Verizon store. But, you know, if we have to exercise lots of willpower to remain patient, it's harder to stay patient, that's for sure. But yeah, but anyway, that's great. Well, how about we patiently sit for about a minute to let this really sink in? And then we'll close. Being patient in this moment with a sense that it's all right as it is. Patience as a doorway to contentment. Patiently letting the bell ring all the way out. Thank you.